Our brother prayed there just now from Reno, prayed that these things are overdue. He used the word overdue, which I entirely agree with. You know, this is the first time, at least, that I have conducted a training like this. And besides Brother Lee's training, when he was alive, I do not recall where, at least in this country, in North America, that we have conducted such a kind of systematic and thorough training for the leading brothers that I remember. And so you are the guinea pig, right? You are the test case. And I must say that, as I was remarking to Brother Gary before this, before I stood up, that I'm quite strengthened, comforted, encouraged that the material is very right. These outlines are very well put together. Do you not agree with me? I'm not tooting the horn here, but it's all the ministry. But how you put the ministry together is an art, you know. You just don't throw them together and push the button, you know. So I feel quite good. Even the pace of it, the thoroughness of it, taking a year for us to finish 36 lessons. And by the way, I'm working on the next 36. They are actually all together 72. This is what I call basic. The next one is what I call advanced. So anyway, the point is this. The point is this. As the word is getting out, people from other places finding this out, all the leading brothers, the co-workers, are all somewhat clamoring. When can we start this training in our region, in our place? I mean, I didn't go out to solicit or to sell this thing. But the point is, brothers, the need is there. There is an overdue need in the churches, in the recovery of this kind of perfecting or training of the leading brothers. A, to really, really calibrate or adjust the current crew of leading brothers, because many of themselves have never been trained properly. They've been just bouncing around, left to their own devices, and therefore we got problems. But more than that, really, is to train up another generation that would not repeat that history. You see? What a shame to make the same mistake twice. That would be a real something regretful. So this is the other main burden, to train up another group. And here we have 300 at least sign up. Again, we're not saying all of us will automatically become elders just because we have been here. No. Please be clear. But I am praying that a number of brothers would receive mercy and be arrested by a holy aspiration and be serious with these material and fellowship, that soon or some years down the line, they can really be the good elder, I would even say, the top elders. Yes, I did say top elders. We need the best elders, the top and the most useful elders in the Lord's recovery. Don't we deserve that? If the Lord's recovery is the best, as we like to say. So, but my speaking is maybe, you know, one-third of the whole thing. Two-thirds is in your pursuit, is in your, you know, your learning. It's in your exercise. So I want to still repeat how important it is during the rest of this month. You should be very, very diligent and disciplined together yourself and together with your cohorts, you know, with the other brothers, to labor in this word and to immediately apply them in your service and your living. Some of these things can have instant benefit. Don't say everything will take years. No. Something, you're just doing it wrong. You just have to do it right, and you get instant benefits. Of course, we're still in the realm of life, right? And therefore, much to do with transformation. But still, don't use that as an excuse. Work on it. Work on it. Work on yourself. Be better. Improve. The recovery is not a place to just, we've arrived and that's it. That's not the spirit of the recovery. The recovery is always the spirit of advancing, personally and corporately. Okay, now we come to actually another subject. This is not the qualification, but in another sense, it is still the qualification, and that is on the teaching of the elders. Now, I think always we should read this, and don't worry, we will definitely finish in time. Please let us read 1 Timothy. Even in Bible reading, brothers, we should be more serious. Don't just read this word just to get over it and get on. Let even every reading of the Word of God has to be done in a serious way. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:2, just the first line. The overseer... Wait a minute. Yes. It should not be 3a, but 3b, which is just three words. Apt to teach. Let's say that together.
Apt to teach.
Three gigantic words that also should be on your refrigerator, right? Apt to teach. Okay, 5:17, please. 1 Timothy 5:17. As you will see, these two verses are not talking about the same kind of teaching. The first is the kind of teaching that every leading brother should be able to do, while the second, in chapter 5, refers to some with a particular learning and gift that can speak in a deeper way. We need both. All right, 2 Timothy 2:24. But a slave of the Lord ought not to contend, but be gentle toward all, apt to teach, bearing with wrath. All right? Okay, Acts 20. Now we come to Paul's example. Paul has a pattern in this matter of teaching. Acts 20, in his speaking to, the last speaking to the overseers in the church in Ephesus. All right? Let's read 17. Verse 20, how I did not withhold any of those things that are profitable by not declaring them to you and by not teaching you publicly from house to house. 27 and 28, for I did not shrink from declaring to you all the counsel of God. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained through his own blood. And finally, the book of Titus, after Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9. All right. Holding to the faithful word, of course, this is the word to Titus concerning elders, you know, concerning overseers. with the emphasis in this verse on holding tightly to the faithful word, and which is according to the teaching, which really means the teaching, the unique teaching of the apostles. That this overseer, by doing so, can exhort by the healthy teaching and to convict those who oppose. All right, let's go to the outline. Before that, I just, praying with the brothers here, it occurred to me in the last outline that all parts of our being are involved in the slavery. The love of a slave. Let me start this. The mind of a slave, the mind of Christ, which is the mind of a slave. Two, the love of a slave. Exodus 21. And finally, the obedience of the slave. That's the will. Do you see this? So all mind, emotion, and will must all be exercised in order to practice slavery, the divine slavery, your whole being, right? Check your faculties. Where is your thinking? Who are you loving? And how are you obeying? Check that. Just frequently check up on yourself. Okay. Number one, the teaching of the elders in the local church. A, the main responsibility of the elders is teaching. And as you will see, teaching cannot be separated from shepherding. That is two sides of the same coin. In Ephesians 4, it talks about the gifts, right? In persons, the apostles, the prophets and the evangelists, and then the shepherds and teachers being the same category, the same kind. So he who is a shepherd should be a teacher, and vice versa. Now, there are many levels of teaching which we will discern, but anyway, this matter of teaching is huge. It's great. It's absolutely necessary for you to discharge your duty as a proper leading brother, as an elder, for sure. There's no way around this. We all have to learn to teach at some level. Okay. B, Paul says that an elder in a local church should be apt to teach. What does that mean, apt to teach? One, the word apt implies being able and accustomed to. To teach here means to parents teaching their children. I would like to add one more definition to the word apt. I would say not only the ability or the habit or the custom, I would say even a kind of inclination, a kind of propensity, an inclination to teach. Now, this doesn't mean you love to talk and you want someone to just listen to you yakking away on the Bible. No, it doesn't mean that. It means a certain readiness, a certain inclination, as a kind of habit to teach in a proper way, to teach others in a proper way concerning the things of God and the spiritual things. And the teach here, Brother Lee said, is mainly about teaching like parents their children. So today, actually, it's not easy to be a parent because you cannot be just an elementary graduate and be an adequate parent, right? Because you don't understand a thing what your kid is learning in junior high and high school. You need to know what they... So therefore, even today, to be a proper parent, you cannot even just be a high school graduate. You probably have to be at least a bachelor's degree to get the job as a parent. Just like any job out there, you need at least a BS, BA, to be a parent, no less. But that teaching is not like a professor. I mean, to be a parent, you don't need PhD. PhD, well, to go to a JC, you need at least a master's. But PhD is standard to be on faculty in any university, even in a Cal State. So that we're not talking about that kind of teaching. It would be wonderful if you can, but that is not the requirement. The requirement is you can at least teach your children at home the basic things of life, ethics, right? Morality, even basic academic things, am I right? Even things, sorry to say, the schools don't teach anymore. And if the parents don't teach them, how will the children learn? Actually, I would say these are more important things in life than just, you know, academic subjects. You need both. You need both. All right. Two, an elder must be apt to render this kind of home teaching. I like it. Mostly conducted in homes, in the saints' home, in your home, to the members of a local church. And frequently these teachings are not like what I'm doing, you know, 15 minutes at a time. Just 3 minutes, 2 minutes, you can teach a lot. Here's your kid, you know, throwing his spaghetti all over, right? You don't need to give him a 15-minute sermon. No, you don't need that. You just give him a 15-second teaching on how it's not good to throw your spaghetti around. Do you get my point? That's home teaching. And those teachings accumulate to form something in your child. You may say, oh, just telling him to shape up, sit up. No, in time, it will shape that person. Do you know the saints are under your shaping? Under your molding? And if you don't have the right kind of teaching, and if you're not apt to teach, either they are not shaped properly or they are just wild. And I certainly have seen wild saints in the church because the brothers have sort of abdicated. They didn't do their job. There's something called, you know, how to be a proper person. You know, how to be a proper man. And so on. Okay. Three, in order to teach the saints in the local churches, the elders need to labor in the word. They need to get into the depths of the truth in the Bible. So, especially in the Lord's recovery, our standard is higher than the general Christianity, where truth is not that strong, and you don't need to know that much. But in the recovery, we're of another order, and the saints need to know a lot more truth to bear the testimony of Jesus. So we need to be able to teach them. That means we need to have some depths in our knowledge of the truth in the Bible. And that kind of depth only comes from a certain amount of laboring. I can tell you that. There's no shortcut in knowing the truth. You just don't even go to a conference and you know that truth. You have to labor after the conference. You know, this recent Itero on the priesthood, it wasn't that wonderful? But just to go to that conference or that training doesn't mean you got it. You got some inspiration. Inspiration is like vapor. The sun heats up, the vapor is gone. You're left with nothing. Really. Wonderful conference or training. You left with nothing a couple of weeks later. You need to get on into that word and study it. I'm so glad we're coming up with Exodus. We're going to get into it again. But even that still won't do it. You have to get into it yourself. And I'm so sorry to see elders running around. They don't even read the Bible. It's just a book in their book bag. They bring it with them, but they never read it, much less study it. And they just say something, stand up and say something from some recall, from some old days of something they heard. They just fill it in with some words and with a few, toss in a few recovery terms. But you know when they stand up, it's empty. There's no study, there's no labor, it's just words. Brothers, talk about paying the price, talking about making some sacrifice. We all need to sacrifice a little to get into the Word of God. The saints, they can just live on Holy Word for morning revival, but you and I cannot. We need something more. We do need something more. All right. Four, if the elders would be apt to teach, they need to be knowledgeable. For example, an elder should be able to explain what the mystery of Christ is. Yes, this thing is so deep that most Christians don't even talk about it. But as a basic saint in the recovery, you have to know that. And much less an elder. You're an elder and you don't know what is the mystery of Christ, that is the church. Or what is the mystery of the church? Rather, the mystery of God is Christ. You don't know these things. You don't know the two great mysteries. How can you be an elder properly? Well, you say, well, running the church doesn't require this, you know. Running the church, you know, doesn't require knowledge of mysteries. You're right, because you're running the church. You're not shepherding. You're not doing your job. You're just a good manager, doing this, doing that. You don't know the first thing about shepherding the flock of God, and building up, edifying the saints to build up a local church. Right, Jacob? So much time we have to spend one-on-one to teach the saints. Basic things. Let's say they just got saved. You need to teach them the assurance of salvation. Then the security of salvation, which is different. Don't mix the two up. No, you don't know. You don't know. Well, praise the Lord, someone got saved. Hallelujah. Okay. What check should I sign? What? I'm running the church. What? What? The real elder is someone who can, without thinking, looking, can say a brief word to a new one to assure them of their salvation.
Amen.
He knows the verses, at least the basic verses. Am I right?
Amen.
We're not asking you to give a message in Building 8 in Anaheim. But this you should know to do.
Amen.
And you should do it well. You should do it well.
Amen.
This educates the same. This nourishes the saints, and this will make them grow. Okay, C. In 1 Timothy 5:17, Paul says that the elders who take the lead well should be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and teaching. Now we come to another level of teaching, maybe a little bit more advanced level of teaching. If you ask me, I would say today, somewhat I would wish that every single elder should be able to teach in a particular way. You know, 7 times a year we have these feasts. And what's the excuse that you don't know these deeper things? Right? Okay. Whereas all the elders should be apt to teach, not all have the special capacity in teaching. That's true. You may be an elder, real good elder, but you don't have that particular capacity. Nothing wrong with that. Don't feel bad, right? You just do what you can. But we do need some who can. That would be a blessing to that local church. Okay. Among the elders in a local church, there may be some who have the burden to teach and to labor in the word. These teaching ones are especially worthy of double honor because nothing is more exhausting than teaching. Some who have to give some time to prepare, to say something, to speak something. You see how much weight Paul placed on teaching in the early church. Three, you know, especially those days they have to counter the heresies. And the only way to counter is to educate our own saints so that they would not be taken away. Okay, be deceived. Three, in the verse 17, word denotes the general speaking of doctrines, and teaching denotes special instruction concerning particular things. There's always these two things, general doctrines and special instruction. We should learn to be able to do both. I mean, an elder should. D, the local churches need these two kinds of teaching, the teachings as parents and teaching as teachers. One, the teaching as parents, home teaching, is needed in all the churches. They should teach the saints how to have the table meeting, how to pray, call hymns, and testify, and may I say, many other things. For example, how to live the proper Christian life, how to bear the proper Christian testimony, how to read the Bible, how to come to the meetings, to fellowship with the saints, how to coordinate with the brothers and sisters. Many, many things. Many things. It's quite an inclusive kind of teaching that we should be able to give to the brothers and sisters. B, if one elder is... you know, today we have so many feasts and meetings. We think if we just herd the saints to these feasts and meetings, they will spontaneously get it. No, no. There's no replacement for one-on-one teaching. You should practice to help the saints on a one-on-one shepherding teaching way. You have to learn to do that. That's why Paul went house to house to do that. Okay. If one elder is responsible for this kind of teaching every week, then after 52 weeks, there will be an accumulation. Now we got rid of one-man teaching, didn't we? Now it's all prophesying. I'm afraid the lazy elders would say, hallelujah. I'm off the hook. No more one-man teaching. I don't even need to read the Bible. I don't even need to get into the Holy Word. The saints will do it. That's their job. You are wrong. Even sometimes we assign brothers to open and close. I'm just the assigner because of my seniority. Brothers, you're wrong. You're wrong. Every meeting, you should be ready to say something. Not in the kind of long and drawn-out sermon way, but you observe in the meetings. We cover this week on this chapter of Holy Word of the 3 points that was brought up, one is not adequately emphasized. You will stand up and emphasize that point. Amen. Because you know the word. You've labored in it. And you build upon what was spoken by the saints by giving something. And don't forget, when you stand up as a leading one, the saints pay much more attention. It's just the way it is. All right? But I've also seen in meetings, the leading brothers either didn't prepare, they just came shoot off the hip, which usually misses, or empty. They have nothing to say except to give announcements. Let him do the announcements. But the word is somebody else's responsibility. Wrong. Wrong. Okay, let's go on. Where are we? C. This will render help to the young ones who recently enter the church life, especially the newer and younger ones, as well as those who attend the meetings regularly. Two, some elders progress gradually from teaching as parents to teaching as teachers. For example, they can release message after message on the mystery of faith in order to unveil Christ as the mystery of God and the church as the mystery of Christ. Sometimes a local church may have a little mini conference with some neighboring churches or on their own, and it is up to the leading brothers, responsible brothers, to say a word. Don't depend on co-workers traveling to your place. I mean, that's gravy. You need to do your home cooking. I recently read a survey. You know, nowadays all kinds of survey, every day a new survey. Okay. That they found out restaurant eating reduces your longevity. It's been proven. It's a survey. By X percent. And they found, for example, that one of the countries where this is a problem is Singapore. You know, Singapore, you want to eat, you go to Singapore. It's a marvelous place it's a clash of fusion of food from India, from Southeast Asia, from China. It's a marvelous place to eat. So everybody eats out. And most of them have the beginnings of heart disease or heart problems. And somehow they tie this to restaurant food. And you know, no matter what they say, restaurant food is just not as healthy. You know, you understand what I mean. And you don't know what they put in there back in the kitchen. What kind of oil they use, what kind of this and that they use. And even I have to tell myself, eat less, eat out less, and live longer. Well, I would not say the co-workers are restaurant food, unhealthy. I wouldn't say that, but you get my principle. Don't rely on just that. That is wonderful. And you need brothers to come and speak to the saints. Yes. They do need that. But you also need to trust in your home cooking. Amen. You know, all children grow up mainly from their mother's cooking, right? That's what we're talking about here. Okay, Paul's pattern for the elders in teaching. Paul certainly is a five-star Michelin cook, you know, or whatever it is. But he established a pattern. He was there establishing a pattern because he was 3 years in Ephesus. He basically became an elder there. He established an example for these elders, and he reminded them of that in Acts 20 when he called them to the seashore. Okay, A, Paul did not withhold any of those things that were profitable by not declaring them. We want the saints to profit from the truth in God's word. So Paul did not hold them back. B, Paul taught the believers publicly in the meetings and privately from house to house. From now on, the elders should do more home visitation. I love this. Brothers, more home visitation. By visiting the homes of the saints, the elders can teach and shepherd the saints. Brotherly charge the elders to go down the phone list and visit home by home. You don't visit because they got problems. You don't visit just because there was a 911. You visit because you visit. Amen. And by visiting them, you get to know what their real situation is. And when an elder would visit a saint's home, those saints are grateful. They just think the Lord has come to them. That's just how it is. You know? Why is he coming? But we don't come to judge, to spy on them, to do any of those. We come because we care for them, and we want to find the occasion to cherish and nourish the brothers and sisters. I tell you, if your church has such regular visitation from the brothers, your church over time would be a healthy church. I think most of us, again, running the church, we ourselves just show up to a few meetings, forget about visiting the saints. Well, sometimes you can even visit with your wife, the saints, or invite them to your home. My, an elder invited me. Ooh, I better dress up and go. That's right. That's right. That's right. But of course, you remember, no sense of that we're higher or we're greater. But you understand what I mean. Lot of occasions to teach the saints something. Two, teaching in this verse really means shepherding. In the New Testament, teaching goes along with the matter of shepherding. Shepherding needs the proper teaching. They go hand in hand. The elders must read to them, that means the saints, some profitable verses, give them some definitions, and teach them with the Holy Word. Then they will be edified, established, strengthened, and built up. Do not trust in miracles. Do not trust in some eventful happenings. Trust in accumulation. Trust in repetition. Trust in our continuing steadfastly in our contact with the saints. In my experience, brothers, my care for the saints, those that result in something, those that are rewarding, are inevitably a man at a time. You know, Paul said this in Colossians, that I may what? Teach every man. That I may present every man. Every is the key word. Even the great apostle does not just depend on public speaking. Even the great apostle trusts in the one-on-one feeding and teaching. Okay, in Greek, four, from house to house means according to the houses. If there's a house, the elder should go. If there are 10 houses, they should go to visit one, to each one, to visit each of the saints. How about that? We just cannot say we have nothing to do. Visit a saint. Visit them. Five, if we go to the homes of the saints to shepherd them, there will be a record of this in the heavens. My, this is Brother Lee. He always told us when he was young how much of this he did in Chifu. In his bicycle, he said, in his bicycle. Let's go from house to house to visit, especially those newly saved and others. He talked about he hired a cook and inviting a group of saints to the meeting hall just to treat them to a meal. Now that is establishing an example, Brother Lee, there, for the elders. These small encounters and contact with the saints in the long run add up. And they are solid. They are solid. A message like this, not that solid. The continuing care is solid. Trust in that. And do more of that. Okay, C, Paul declared God's eternal economy to the believers. What is needed among the saints is the proper biblical divine revelation concerning God's eternal economy. Even the smallest kind of shepherding with something apparently human and outward, if you are skillful, you will tie it back to the economy of God. Yeah. You may not even use the word economy. But you will never leave that, because we're not simply here to give some help people to have better Christian conduct, to be better husbands and wives. We are, in a sense. But all that have to tie back to God's economy. You will tell the same. Brother, you have this, you're in this situation because the Lord allowed that. You know, with your wife, you know, such a difficult wife. It is allowed by the Lord. To what? With that environment, to work on you. Because God wants to work himself into you. You see, this is God's economy. I didn't say economy. I just say it in the word that he can appreciate. Do you see what I'm saying? Then you comfort him. You also helped him how to face the situation, to take grace, you know. I'm just using an example. Sometimes someone is sick. You speak to them in a certain way, right? The young people, the college age, they all need much shepherding. Not by some great apostle, but some moms and dads. And the saints all should know how to do this, but especially we brothers. Huh? Okay, two, Paul declared God's counsel, God's plan, and God's economy. Similarly, all the elders must learn what God's New Testament economy is and to point this out to the saints. You say, I don't know what is God's economy. Well, I have a solution for you. Sign up for the middle age training. I guarantee in 1 year, your knowledge of God's economy will be much, much more advanced.
Amen.
And you do a better job. I mean it. Three, by knowing God's eternal economy, most of the saints would then be solidly grounded and deeply rooted. Four, the elders must learn all the things of God's economy and dive into them. By doing so, they will pick up a real burden. Five, because we are short of such a high view, we just care for our family life and daily life. There's not much consideration for God's eternal interests. So Paul, obviously, shepherd the saints in a according to God's standard. Our brother Lee once said, if you know how to shepherd the saint with the New Jerusalem, then you're really good. Using the New Jerusalem to shepherd someone. Now, you better not try it if you're not sure you can do it. Yeah? You better know the New Jerusalem. You don't even know what is the New Jerusalem. Oh, you just heard about it, you just mouth it. You don't really know. Then you cannot shepherd someone adequately. Okay, three. Let's read. The elders need to hold to the faithful Titus now. A, the faithful word is the full revelation of the New Testament. The elders must hold to the New Testament revelation. You need to know the New Testament. You need to have a panoramic view of the entire Testament, right? B, the elders holding to the faithful word is both to exhort by the healthy teaching and to deal with the opposers to convict those who oppose, positively and negatively. C, all the elders have to study the Bible and the ministry books in order to be fully educated in the crucial aspects of the truth. The teaching of the apostles is fully contained in the Bible, but because the Bible is deep, we need the ministry books to help us in our study. What can I say but a huge big amen? I don't know what I would do without the ministry books. I simply don't know. What ignorance! Some years ago, a certain person from Hong Kong came here to promote. Just read the pure Bible. Forget the ministry. What ignorance. What deception. And the saints bought it. We don't need the life studies. We don't need witness lead this. We just read the Bible. We understand it. You're kidding me. Come, you tell me. You tell me. If you can read the pure Bible and can understand, you come. We'll have a talk. I'll give you 10 questions. You answer them for me. Without the ministry. No. This is our words of ignorance. We should never buy this kind of talk anymore. Okay? This kind of talk will rise up again. So-and-so from such and such a place will come to town and to convince you, you don't need the ministry. This is old stuff. This is man's teaching. You need to come to the pure Bible and the Holy Spirit will tell you. Well, the Holy Spirit never told me. You think I don't have the Holy Spirit? These are just people. They don't know what they're talking about. And don't have the idea to read the ministry so you're reading man's teaching and you relegate the Word of God to the level of man's teaching. No. You know, in this Bible, the Word of God is in the top. All right? Don't confuse. This is the Word of God. This is an exposition of the Word of God based on 2,000 years of learning. So, by extension, that is also the Word of God. But I understand when you say the Word of God, you mean the actual Word of God, right? The Bible that is canonized. Am I right? The 36 and 27 and so on and so forth, that is up here. This you need to open that. Amen. This is the can opener. Yep. You have this wonderful can of barbecue beans, but you break your teeth if you try to open that can with your teeth. Thank the Lord we have a can opener. Amen. Don't despise it. That helps you to open the can and eat those wonderful barbecue beans. Amen. And I'll tell you, I am a grateful, grateful, grateful profiteer of that can opener. Amen. It opened up the Bible to me, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me as He would to you. Once you have certain understanding, the light comes. The light comes. So don't listen to that kind of talk anymore, okay? In fact, we need to study the Bible with the help of the ministry books. The teaching of the apostles is fully contained in the Bible, but because the Bible is deep, we need the ministry books to help us in our study. We first need to spend time in the Bible directly, and then we need to spend time to study the ministry books. These books include all the positive Christian teachings throughout the centuries and sift out the wrong things. D, the elders need to dedicate themselves to study the Bible and the ministry books. If we read them, we will receive a thorough education. Brothers, read the Bible. Amen. Read the Recovery Version. Amen. Read the footnotes. Amen. Read the ministry books like the Life Studies. Amen. Then you become educated. Amen. And you can be qualified to be an adequate elder or leading brother. Amen? Much to apply right away. Maybe the Lord will touch you. Starting this week, you should restart your reading of the Bible. Am I right? You may set up a project to study this book or to read that book. To begin to what? To improve yourself. So, let's do that.